direct from Anaheim. It's blindbargains.com coverage of CSUN 2019. This Blind Bargains special coverage from CSUN 2019 is sponsored by the American Printing House. APH designs innovative learning solutions for people who are blind or visually impaired. They believe in the power of breaking down barriers and creating a future that belongs to everyone. Visit APH.org to learn more about their products and services. Now, here's JJ Meadow.
Here at CSUN 2019, and we are thrilled to be talking with Craig Metter, the president of the American Printing House for the Blind, and Jose Gastambido, the new CEO of a new company called Access Explorer. Guys, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much,
thank you so JJ. Much.
And we'll talk to Craig here first to tell us a little bit about some of your current initiatives that you are working on at ABH and the direction that you're trying to take the company.
Wow, that's a loaded question. If we track back 3 years when I became president, what we wanted to do at that time was really start to begin to expand the reach of APH. And that isn't necessarily more products. It's being more intentional with the products we are developing. But even beyond products, the one thing we really wanted to do is expand our ability to partner with other companies, other agencies, other service organizations, because we had some pretty ambitious goals. And at its heart, we believe that the work that we do at APH, if you look at its base level, the products, we believe those products are good for kids, not only in the United States, but anywhere in the world. So the other thing we recognize too is we were not the center of the universe. I think APH has always done a good job with that, but it was a good reminder that there is brilliance walking amongst us. There's brilliance everywhere you go. And for us to try to replicate that would be very time consuming and would be near impossible. So what we needed to do is find those brilliant minds throughout the country, throughout the world, and start having conversations about how can we partner with them to in essence take in some of their great ideas, their products, and make those part of the APH family, because at the end of the day, we want students and adults to have access to those products as well.
So you have a variety of examples of already companies that you have partnered with on some of the initiatives. What are some of the partnerships that you already are creating?
Well, I think one of our first partners earlier in my tenure was at that time was VFO, which is now Vispero, and they came to us with some ideas of what can we partner on, which wasn't something that was always done at APH. A number of partners, but they came in and said, what can we do? What do we have that you would like to be part of the APH family? And so we started asking for some innovative ideas of the JAWS license. Being a former educator, that was always a frustration to me, is that we would get a student set up with services, and then that student would then overnight, over the weekend, be gone from that district. And part of my role in Washington State was outreach coordinator and state consultant. And so I would see this student end up 200 miles away, and now he's in a new school district, right? And you start this whole process of getting the student set up with services. And sometimes that takes anywhere between a week in a school that's well prepared, but it may take as much as 9 weeks to get the student the services they need. And oftentimes accessible technology was a big piece of that, because it takes a long time for districts to process paperwork and get materials, software into the hands of a student so they can use that. So in essence, a student be sitting in classes for weeks on end with no access to technology and no access to do their work independently. So when Vispero came in and said, how about if we do this? We'll create a license that follows the student. The student can travel anywhere in the United States, but that license stays with the students. What they did is they cut the expense to district, and the beautiful thing about that is it didn't penalize the student over issues they had no control over. So access went with the student, which was a beautiful idea, and that made sense to us at APH, and we said, yes, that's something we want to partner with. We got approval through the Department of Ed. It became a quota product, a quota license, if you will. And then we began to build our partnership through a number of other products. So we've added quite a few of their family line to ours, making those modifications necessary to make them unique to APH. But along the way, we've also been able to do the same thing with HumanWare. And the Mac Connect has been a huge success for us. It's been great for our students and a well-received product on the quota line. We're happy to say we have a Braille device coming out, a note taker, designed more for small hands, the Braille Trail, which your listeners will probably recognize as the Brilliant 14, but we've done some adaptations to make it unique to APH. So we're excited about that. We've also continued to partner with some other agencies. We had a number of agencies that aren't so much in the product space, but are in the service space, such as Pearson and ETS, and that's more on the testing side of things. But then we have several other partners that you wouldn't think of. A number of prisons we partner with to produce low-cost Braille for students in the form of textbooks. And a lot of other service agencies as well. I mean, the list, when we count up our current partner list, it's well into, I think it was well above 50-some different partners that we intersect with on a yearly basis over a product or a service.
So when it comes to partnerships and creating new products, does it generally start with someone at APH having an idea for a new product, or does it more often that the company will come to you, or is it some of both?
It's some of both. About 89% of all APH products start as an idea of somebody who is a practitioner in the field, whether they're a rehab counselor or they're a teacher of the visually impaired or a parent, sometimes students. They come in with an idea and they'll pitch an idea to us and we're like, that has merit. And then we go to work trying to blend their creative mind with our process and come out with a product. What we've also done, or getting more into the habit, is finding companies, a lot of small startups that have a great idea, that one singular idea that is just, we think, could be game-changing for a student. And so we're finding a way, we're kind of fast-tracking the process to get that product into the quota product line. And that's our goal there. So if we see something that's already made and ready to go to production, we will jump all over that if it makes sense. But, you know, for every one of those we find, we're probably in the process of developing five others.
Speaking of partnerships, there was a big example of that last week. I was fortunate to attend, along with about 50 other people, an indoor navigation symposium. What did you learn from that, and how did that event go?
Surprisingly, it went amazing. This was one of those things, it's like we had an idea, and this all started at a breakfast meeting at the M Enabling Conference last June 2018, where about six different companies that were doing indoor navigation, we met over breakfast and we said, folks, we're duplicating efforts, we're creating redundancies. Can't we work together, develop a set of standards that would help move this idea of accessibility for all? You know, that recognition that the world is incredibly large. It's one company can't do it all, and it'd be foolish to try. In fact, you could have 1,000 companies and you can't do it all. So there's a lot of challenges out there, but there are some commonalities. So after that meeting, we all said, we need to do this again, but we need to do it as a more formal opportunity. Well, months went by, and then I think it was in November, right? We had a group at APH got together, said, we really need to get serious about this, and we found a little piece of time in March where we could pull that together, sandwiched it between the AFB conference and CSUN and the Mobility Matters conference at Portland State. We said, these are the dates, and we put it out there, invitation only. We wanted the minds that were working in that space already, as well as some people who carried a lot of influence in the field, such as the NFB, the ACB, AFB, and we wanted their take, and we put out the invitations. We had no idea if anybody would show up. It was kind of late notice. We were overwhelmed by the response. And then the week of the conference, again, you don't know, we know people are coming, we don't know when they're arriving, and to our, I shouldn't say our surprise, because people were excited about it, but I was thoroughly pleased and elated that everyone that said they were coming came. The discussion was really rich, and out of that, there were a lot of commonalities. You know, at its heart, everyone is serving the same mission, whether you are a for-profit or a non-profit. You were in this for the right reasons, and that is you wanted to have impact. You wanted to have impact on making the world more accessible. You wanted to have impact because you wanted to use the old cliche, level the playing field or create opportunity, which sounds trite, but it's so true. I mean, that at its core, everyone had that same mission. little different philosophies. You know, we had input from companies located in Israel, in Norway, in France, UK, Japan, as well as the United States. And it was really confirming to see that everybody was after the same idea, maybe approaching it a little differently, but there's hope. I mean, I came away saying this is doable. And from that, I think the big push was we need to develop standards. Now, the good news is, once again, those bright minds had figured that out. So a good example is CTA, the foundation that supports the Consumer Electronics Show, had already begun work on some indoor navigation standards. And this was a follow-up to work that was done a few years back by G3 ICT, which had started a white paper on indoor navigation wayfinding standards. And so, you know, this was this nexus of all these ideas floating around and getting everyone together in the same space and everyone agreeing that standards are important and we need to be working together and we need to firm up the standards and establish those. And I think my judging the feel of the group is that this isn't going to be a one-off. Our goal is we're going to do this again, and we'll keep doing it as long as there's a need.
And I certainly look forward to attending more of these in the future. That transitions us nicely to Jose, who's been waiting patiently.
I have a tendency to talk a bit.
Talking about Access Explorer. So Access Explorer was spun off from Nearby Explorer. So APH, of course, having hands-in navigation indoor-outdoor for a while with Nearby Explorer, and now Access Explorer. Jose, I know you're still pretty brand new to this position, but go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you see for Access Explorer.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Jose Gastambide, and the proud new CEO of Access Explorer. With Access Explorer spinning off from the American Printing House for the Blind, I think it was a recognition that this space is very much in its nascency, and for it to achieve the scale that we needed to, not just across Louisville, not just across the country, but across the world, it really requires an agile entrepreneurial effort and a separate organization that is solely focused on indoor navigation and on indoor mapping. And so I think that was a lot of the impetus on behalf of the board of the American Printing House for the Blind to create this new entity with a dual mission motive and the profit motive, really kind of creating a self-enforcing loop. If we do a great job with the mission motive, and if we are able to make indoor navigation easier and more accessible and more accurate for the blind and the visually impaired, the profit will follow, and the profit will allow us to reach more people and to map more spaces and to make the technology better. And so that's kind of the hypothesis and the thinking behind Access Explorer, A, as a spin-off of APH, but still maintaining that strong relationship, and also as a separate for-profit entity.
That's great, Jose. We look forward to hearing more from you in the near future.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you so much, both of you. Craig, if people want to get more information about APH, of course, aph.org, how else can they...
Well, they could always bother you, and then you could refer them to me. No, we won't do that. We won't create an... Basically, come to the website. And by the way, website is undergoing some major changes, so we'll be rolling out a new website here in the next month. We're excited about that, and hopefully that will deliver even a greater level of service to people who access APH. But most of the information they can find through APH, or they could drop us a line, and people still do that sort of thing. Contact us by email, as well as join us on Facebook and many of the other social media platforms.
Thank you so much, Craig and Jose. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate APH sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you, JJ.
Thank you, JJ.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys, online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.